morning prayer for the first third Sunday of Lent. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Hear our voice, O Lord, according to your faithful love.
According to your judgment, give us life.
Holy God, as we meet together today, we ask that you will renew our love for you. Open our eyes, we pray, to see fresh things. Open our ears to hear with greater clarity. Open our minds to recognize new ideas. Make us willing to grow and change and to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to
the abundance of your compassion.
Blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever
before me.
Against you only have I sinned.
And done what is evil in your sight.
So that you are justified in your sentence.
And righteous in your judgment.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me again the joy of your salvation.
And sustain me with your gracious Spirit.
Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning.
Is now and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord, my God, shall make my darkness to be bright. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my crag, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I cried to the Lord in my anguish, and I was saved from my enemies.
The Lord, my God, shall make my darkness to be bright.
The cords of death entwined me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the pit fastened about me, and the snares of death entangled me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help. He heard my voice in his temple, and my cry came to his ears.
The Lord, my God, shall make my darkness to be bright.
He parted the heavens and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon the cherubim and flew. He came flying on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around about him, dark waters and thick clouds his pavilion. The Lord, my God, shall make my darkness to be bright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Steve will do the first reading for us.
First reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the canticle for today. Return to the Lord.
To the Lord,
who will have mercy.
Will have mercy.
To our God,
by God,
who will richly pardon. I seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy. To our God, who will richly pardon. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy.
To our God, who will richly reward.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy. To our God, who will richly pardon. As the rain and the snow come down from above and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread to eat. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me fruitless, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the task I gave it. Return to the Lord, who will have mercy. To our God, who will richly pardon.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen.
And now our second reading.
Second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, starting to read at verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" but he was talking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that God had spoken.
Thank you, Steve. Steph has left me a sermon, which I will read to you now. A few years ago, we were lucky enough to have a holiday in Kenya. We had a fabulous time. But the one thing that I found really difficult was the constant and relentless haggling and badgering us to buy things. We had been warned, but I hadn't quite realised how extreme it would be. We were told that if we went to certain places, we would be followed and pursued. If we remained in certain places, we would be safe. Sadly, one of the places where we would be pursued and hounded was on the beach by the seashore, which was the place we wanted to be. I made sure that my teenage sons and their friend understood that we had been advised that it was not wise for us to go there because we would be pestered. However, like most of the teenagers I have been related to, they ignored the advice. By the end of the first afternoon, James had spent quite a bit of money and exchanged all his socks for a few carved animals. To get into the sea, we had to run the gauntlet of being hounded. It was exhausting. I imagine that this must have been what it was like for Jesus when he went to the temple. We know that Jesus went to the temple and that he was familiar with it. He had often been there before, but there was something about this visit which got to him. He could not contain his anger. I wonder why. Perhaps it would help us to imagine the scene. The temple courts were the outskirts of the temple. They were filled with traders selling cattle, sheep, and doves, ready to buy for sacrificing in the temple. There would be tables of money changers, waiting to change the pilgrims' money into special temple coinage needed to pay the temple tax. This hadn't just suddenly happened. This was something that Jesus must have seen before. Yet something about it on that particular day triggered him to make a whip and chase them out of the temple. I am pretty sure that the disciples could not have predicted it. After all, only a few short verses in John's Gospel previous to this recorded the incident. We see Jesus at a wedding, protecting the master of the banquet and the wedding party from an humiliating scene. But in the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus makes a scene and confronts what had become accepted ceremonial practice in the commerce surrounding temple worship. And he's not going to put up with it. I find this picture of Jesus overturning tables difficult to contemplate. I don't find it comfortable to think of Jesus behaving like that. But we can't make Jesus fit our expectations. We can't box him in. We can't just take a little bit of the Jesus we like and forget about the more challenging Jesus who makes demands on us. How would we react to Jesus as he overturned the tables? Would we be shocked? Horrified? Confrontational? Would the wardens have been grabbing their wands in an attempt to keep order? I am someone who generally likes to keep the peace and find a middle way. That's probably why I sit so comfortably within the Church of England. Maybe it's a bit too comfortable. Maybe there are dangers in always playing safe and keeping the peace, finding the middle way. When Jesus clears a temple, there is no compromise, no room for negotiation. Jesus doesn't say to the money changers, "Would you mind most awfully lowering your prices? Or could you just push your tables further to the back?" No, there's none of that. Jesus is angry and he tells them why. "How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" Jesus sees exactly what is going on and in his anger lashes out, driving out the animals, driving out the traders, overturning tables and scattering coins. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? It's a scene of utter chaos. As the disciples watch and later reflect on what happened, they are reminded of a prophecy from Psalm 69. Zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus is zealous for the house of God, for his Father's house. His anger is righteous. Forget, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is Jesus burning with righteousness. As the prophet Malachi said, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. When John writes about Jesus, it is at the very beginning of Jesus's ministry. He is cleansing the temple, purifying it from sin. But there's more than that. Jesus suggests that the true worship will not be dependent on the temple. The temple, Jesus says, will be destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days. The Jews think he is talking about the physical building, but Jesus is referring to himself. Jesus is God with us, God alongside us, God with his people, God within his people. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I wonder what Jesus would find if he suddenly came to his temple today. Would our inner temples be places of awe where God is honoured and worshipped? What's at the very core of our beings? What are the things that Jesus would want to drive out of our lives, drive out of his temple? Do we have a zeal for our Father's house, or has our zeal for God's house as a house of prayer for all nations given way to other things that consume or kill us spiritually? Are we guilty of complacency, being content with going through the religious motions every time I go to church rather than to meet with the living God? Jesus comes to his temple, to each one of us. He comes to purify, heal, nurture, and love. Let's allow him to enter, inviting him to make the changes necessary for us to become the place where God is honored and worshiped, the place where God dwells. Amen. And now Steve will lead us with the prayers.
Let us pray. Lord of the universe, we pray for our world, broken by persecution, war and strife. You desire harmony within and between nations. You yearn for everyone to know security and safety. Lord of the world and Lord of the church, bring healing and peace. Lord of the poor and the rich, we pray for those who live and labour in countries where they are paid less than they need to survive. We commend to your tender love all who are exploited. You desire justice for all people. You yearn for all people to be treated fairly and equitably. Lord of the world and Lord of the church, bring healing and peace. Lord of the sick and those who care for them, we commend to you those who are suffering and those who are frightened and anxious. You desire wholeness and health for all people. You yearn for an end to suffering. Lord of the world and Lord of the church, bring healing and peace. Lord of all in need, we bring to you the prayers of our hearts. We commend to you those about whom we are especially concerned, praying for the sick, Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Peter, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Joy, Alex, Rupert, Maya, Margaret, Pippa, Stephen, Frank, Penny, and the bereaved, Connie Rich, Maureen Backstone, Joan Phillips, Brenda Hiscox. You desire that your children care for one another. Lord of the world and Lord of the church, bring healing and peace. The collect for this, for the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And the conclusion. May God, our Redeemer, show us compassion and love.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.